to the Absolute Unit Podcast. Joshua Jenkins here again with Brandon Lansdowne. And we wanted to start this episode and just give you guys kind of a brief bio of ourselves, since we haven't done that yet and not all of you may know exactly who we are. So we wanted to do that real briefly before we get into our topic for today. And Brandon, why don't you go ahead and start, and then I'll finish.
Yeah, happy to. So, as Joshua said, my name is Brandon Lansdowne, and I am a husband and a father and a pastor and a coffee roaster. Unashamed to say that I'm in my 40s, and feel like I hopefully am still in my 30s. Fitness is certainly a big part of my life and my daily and weekly routine, amongst the many other things that I do. So as I said, pastoring a church and do a lot of discipleship with guys. And we just recently planted, so that's been exciting and a lot of work. And I also, in addition to that, work as a general contractor, flipping houses during the day. And then in addition to that, I am also the owner and roaster of Reformation Coffee. So between those three things, and in addition to family, being a husband and a dad, I got a pretty full plate. And so that means that, you know, I have to be really, really diligent and disciplined in finding time to fit, you know, physical fitness and be mindful of health and nutrition, incorporating those things into my weekly routine. And so, as I've said previously, that, you know, for me, what that looks like, since each day of the week is really full of several activities, I make sure that, you know, I'm an early riser now, and I get up and hit the gym at home hard at 5 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, then from there, you know, I've got the blood pumping and I'm feeling good after a workout, hit the showers, get some coffee going, get in the Word, and yeah, and then hit my day of just whatever I have, whether it's meeting with guys or preparing a sermon or roasting coffee or working on a house. Tends to be what my week-to-week looks like. And then I guess I would add that in terms of nutrition, I won't do a super deep dive here, but I'm always mindful of the food that I consume, the meals that I eat. Eat primarily at home. We do home-cooked meals, and I try to be really mindful of eating clean, eating healthy, getting proper nutrition, getting those good calories in. And, you know, that leads me to thereby have a lot of the energy that's needed to be able to maintain and doing all the different things that the God has given me the responsibility to do in my life. So,
yeah,
why don't you fill us in on yours?
Yeah, so, and for those who don't know Brandon, he's one of those guys that when I found out he was as old as he was, I was shocked. So that's a testament to, obviously there's some God-given things there, but also I think as well that the diet and the lifestyle, the exercise that he puts into it. I think we've known each other for like 2 years or so.
Yeah, really. We're well,
really gotten to know each other this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, we're actually pastors at two different churches in the same town, both of the Reformed Baptist variety.
Mm-hmm.
And probably I would say the most like-minded fellow pastor in the area to me is Brandon. So it's been good getting to hang out and talk and do this podcast with him. And so yeah, I pastor another church here in town, and I'm one of the pastors there, and also have a full-time job as well. It's a job that I get to work from home, and so that's been a real blessing to be able to do that. And I've got two little boys, and of course a wife, my wife Brittany. And we as well are very conscious about what we eat, and I've tried to focus on eating an kind of an animal-based diet or animal-based diet in terms of the animal products. So not just meat, but I also, Brandon doesn't agree with this, but I'm a big raw milk enjoyer and some cheese and stuff. But really, really good whole foods is kind of our focus, and do that and work out usually 5 or 6 days a week. And that is, we were just talking about that before the before we started this. I think I'm a big fan of if 6 day a week workouts, and part of that is just my thinking along the lines of how God made us in creation. You know, He created us to work 6 days, and so and rest 1 out of 7. So there's something there, I think, to, because that's always when I felt my best, because I haven't always done that, but I felt my best and strongest and made the most progress working out that often, that regularly. So I think there's something to that with how God created us, especially as men in our bodies that we can physically handle, is 6 days a week of hard work. And especially for me, working a desk at home job on the computer online, it's important for me to get that physical workout in, because it's not part of my job that makes the money. So that's a little bit about who we are and kind of our routines. I wanted to start this episode out talking a little bit about a somewhat of a lesser known story from the Old Testament about a guy that's not lesser known, Jacob. There's an interesting story in Jacob's life. You'll find it in Genesis 29. After he gets the birthright and the blessing from his brother Esau and the deception of his father Isaac, he then, of course, is on the run, and his mother sends him to go to the relative Laban to work there and find a wife, and so on. So he's on the run from Esau for his life. And on his way, he comes across these shepherds who are gathering at a well. And he's talking with the shepherds, and there's this rather large stone that was the covering to this well, and it was the routine that they would wait till all the shepherds got there with all the flocks so that they could together move this stone away from the well, because apparently it was a good-sized rock that required the strength of multiple men to move this thing. And so Jacob's there, he's told this about the stone, this huge rock, and he sees the shepherds point out to him, hey, look, here is Rachel, the daughter of Laban, coming, who's a shepherdess, and she's coming with her father's flocks to this well. And it's kind of comical to really think about it. Jacob sees her coming. Of course, we know that she's beautiful. He loves her. He's enamored with her. And when he sees her coming, he gets up by himself and goes and moves this large stone away from the well so that she can begin to water her flocks. And it's easy to pass over that story, but it's a, really, if you think about it, it's a great display of physical strength from this guy Jacob, who a lot of times is kind of slandered as this effeminate boy who, you know, he sticks around the tent and he likes to cook and do the domestic arts and stuff. That's kind of the perception that a lot of people place upon him just because he was not the same as Esau. But the reality is this narrative, this little story in his life shows just the opposite, that he was capable of great feats of physical strength. And he had, you know, kind of what we're going to get to talking about today is he had testosterone levels to be able to use this great burst of strength to move this large stone that took multiple men. And these shepherds, you know, in that day were not weak men. They were real strong men. Mm-hmm. And so it's an impressive feat of strength in Jacob's life. And the other thing I want to point out about this, too, is that Jacob, you know, he does this because he sees Rachel coming. He's told it's Laban's daughter, who he knows he was going to go to that family to find a wife to marry. And we know he thinks she's beautiful. And it's this drive to impress her with his string. And I think there's something there as well that's a good and godly thing. Obviously, there is a way today, or any day, that can go wrong with lusting after women and wanting mm-hmm. to have this sexual appeal to many different women who are not your wife, or you don't want to be your wife. And so that's obviously, we're not promoting that. But Jacob, of course, ends up marrying her. It was the woman he wanted to marry, and he did marry her. And so I think there's a good thing there as well with strength. We talked about it in the first episode, mentioned the proverb, the glory of young men is their strength, and that women will recognize that mm-hmm. when it's done right. And, you know, there's many guys have talked about it, or a number of guys have talked about it. Today, in today's world, there's a lot of difficulties in our modern world for young Christian men to find a Christian wife to marry. And there's some practical advice that a lot of time is overlooked, but some people have been giving it recently, is look, maybe one of the things that could help you to find a wife is getting strong. Is, you know, because if you're overweight, if you are not in shape, if your testosterone levels are very low, which we're talking about today, that honestly limits the pool of women from which you can find a wife that will want to marry you. But if you are concerned in a good way about being strong and being manly in a godly way, that increases, I don't know, for lack of a better term, the pool of women from which you can find a wife from. And so that's just some interesting thoughts about Jacob, who is often thought of in not those terms. So today we're going to talk about testosterone and the importance of it. And the big thing today, the reason we're talking about it, is because there's all kinds of statistics and research and things that have been, studies that have been done that have shown over the last several decades a dramatic decline in testosterone in young men. Brandon, is there anything on that you want to mention as we start here?
Yeah, I think that there's remarkably a large amount of evidence that shows the decline in testosterone levels amongst men. And we're speaking, you know, in relation to men. I mean, women do have testosterone levels present in their body significantly smaller than that of men. I mean, what you might find commonly in women in terms of testosterone that's present is like anywhere from 15 to 70. You know, the way they measure it is nanograms per deciliter. And so that compared to with men being in the hundreds, you know, what I shared with you before we got started was, you know, not that long ago, just in 2000, the average testosterone levels in men were, you know, in the low 600s. That was just the average.
And that was in 2000.
Right.
Which had already been a decade at least of decline mm-hmm. historically.
Yeah. The kind of consensus amongst the medical field today is that any testosterone level of anywhere between 300 and 1,000 is considered healthy, which is just insane to me that you would have that wide of a gap in terms of, like, if you fall anywhere in there, then we're just going to consider you healthy. And so in that 300 to 1,000 marker, you know, in 2000, it was the low 600s. And then today, it's, you know, anywhere from the most recent statistic that I found showed that the average in 2016 was 450. And so just rapid decline. And as you say, even in 2000, I mean, we were already in, we weren't seeing the decline yet, but it was already taking place. We just weren't measuring it in the way that we do now. And so,
yeah, you mentioned that wide range from levels of 300 to 1,000. Was it 300 you said?
Mm-hmm.
300 to 1,000. That is a very wide range of what's considered a good testosterone level. And I think, you know, it's pretty clear that that's kind of a lowering of the standard.
Yeah.
To fit the epidemic of dramatic drops in testosterone in young men.
Yeah, that's right. And I think as Christian men, we should refuse to accept that. That is not, it's not acceptable, it's not normal. As Christian men, you know, I mean, obviously manhood, which we are called to, which I think includes certainly, you know, many conversations about what it is to be a man and what it is to be masculine. You know, it isn't about just, you know, celebrating ridiculously high T levels or just like beating our chests. And, you know, it's, and I think we'll get into this more, especially really specifically as far as within your own body and its performance, why higher T numbers are good. But, you know, I think the really bit broader answer in terms of being a Christian man is that all of the things that we're called to show up and do, and I mean the things that we should do, and so again, you know, there might be a bit of a shift in our mindset in thinking about the things that we should do. Like some people might say, well, I don't think I need to work out. I shouldn't work out or something like that, and say like, no, you do. You absolutely need to. And you know, we've talked about that in regards to strength. And, you know, in terms of being a godly man, much of what we are called to do is the way we fulfill that and demonstrate that oftentimes in some form or another is an expression of strength. And, you know, the grit, the mental fortitude, those types of things, and being a husband and a father and a leader and fill in the blank, you're going to do those things, I think. I mean, I'm convinced of it. You're not going to do those things as effectively as a man if you have, you know, a testosterone level of, you know, 300 or less, or even, you know, 400 or 500.
Yeah, so maybe let's cover a basic here just for those who maybe aren't familiar to the conversation, but what is testosterone in a man? And what makes it, so I guess the really basic way to put it is testosterone is the hormone in your body that makes a man a man.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, as Brandon said, there are levels of testosterone in women. Obviously, it's naturally much, much lesser because there is lesser use for it in a woman. So that in itself goes to show us some things that are very against the spirit of the age of the day. That men and women are naturally different, and there's good reason for it. And men also, on the other hand, men also do have levels of estrogen
right,
naturally, but much, much lower for different purposes. And so, obviously, this is the very, very basics, but men need higher testosterone, lower estrogen. Women need higher estrogen, lower testosterone, and that's what gives them their godly femininity or masculinity for
right,
a man.
Right.
So again, this is kind of some basics of the conversation here. What are some reasons that men need good testosterone levels? Or maybe the inverse of that question is, what are some problems that are caused by low testosterone levels?
Yeah, I mean, you can answer the question either way by saying, and all of these things have been proven, that when you have low T levels as a man, you are you're going to have far worse sleep. You're not going to sleep as well, and you're not going to have as much energy. And as I go through some of these things, you're going to realize that, and these things kind of get compounded. Like they, it kind of turns into this snowball that just gets bigger and bigger. Like all of these things affect the other things, and also low T levels affect all of these things. And so your sleep is worsened. You have less energy. You have less of the natural ability to recover from injury or fatigue. You have oftentimes a poor immune system. Your immunity goes down, and your ability to fight off sickness and disease is lessened. So many things, like in terms of cognition, your libido, your mood, your ability to burn fat is affected by low T levels.
So just on that real quick, because we talked about weight loss in the last episode, testosterone is seen to be typically very, very low in people who are obese.
Correct, yeah.
And so it's kind of a, however way you want to look at that relationship, you know, low testosterone helps cause weight gain.
Certainly.
Also being obese harms your testosterone levels.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that process, you know, also with lower T levels, especially when it's connected to, you know, to being overweight, I mean, you also have greater difficulty with muscle growth.
Yeah.
And so it isn't just that you have a harder time burning fat, you also would have a harder time gaining, putting on muscle.
Building muscle and bone density.
Bone density for sure, yeah.
Really just a whole host of things for men. And, you know, since I mentioned Jacob trying to impress his wife, I mean, the other obvious thing is men in their sexual life.
Yeah.
With, obviously, as Christians, we believe that's between a man and a woman in marriage.
Correct.
Only. And so in that relationship, you know, just a relevant bunny trail for a moment. Sometimes, especially as pastors, we deal with different counseling situations, but, you know, sometimes you'll have problems in a Christian marriage in the bedroom between a husband and wife where it's not working well, it's not going very good. And there could be, I mean, there's a whole host of reasons that could be. So this isn't the end-all be-all. But one very real possible reason for the problems could be that the man has very low testosterone levels, and it's affecting his ability with his wife. And so that is really a more and more modern phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And something that modern day pastors have to understand to be able to deal with their people that maybe previous generations of pastors didn't need to worry about. That was one problem that wasn't a factor in marriages in times past, by and large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess the last thing I would say is really just a more generalized statement over all the things that I just covered is that the really simplest thing that I would want you guys to know is that lower testosterone levels really just plain and simply lends to an overall lower quality of health.
Yeah.
Just health and life is the quality of it is lessened. And you know, I would say in the opposite direction with, and I want to be specific and say it, like with optimized testosterone levels for your age and your body type. So with optimized testosterone levels, you have a much higher quality of life. You know, because all of those things that I listed, the opposite of those things are true. You are sleeping better. You do have more energy. You do recover faster. You do have a higher libido. You do. All of those things are improved from having higher T levels.
So we mentioned the modern day scale of 300 to 1,000 being considered a good range for testosterone levels. What would you say would be a more accurate range of what is actually a good level?
What is actually good? Yeah, I would say, man, that's a good question. I don't know how well I could answer that question professionally.
We're not professionals.
But I would certainly hope that, you know, for me, like looking back to 2000 being 605, my, you know, was the average. My thought was like, that's low end.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to go below that. And so, you know, I think, and again, age, body type, those types of factors certainly weigh in, but, you know, I would say on average, that would be what I would want to be on the low end. And so, you know, I think, you know, for me, you know, a 600 to 1,000 range would be much more pleasing, much more desirable. But, you know, that as you said, the reason we're not there is because of the sedentary lifestyles that we live now. And so I think we can get back there. I think, you know, which brings up, you know, kind of an interesting side point is like as men, the one of the roles that we have as fathers, especially fathers of sons, is to instill that in our boys. And so then they can instill that in their sons. And so, I mean, that's something that I've started doing just in the last couple of years with my son. He's a teenager. And so, you know, it's fun and we compete and I push him pretty hard, but, you know, wanting to instill that in him so that he can pass that on and so that we can turn the tide or right the ship and have, you know, future generations of stronger men, of more competent and confident men.
Yeah. So that leads me to the next kind of question in this discussion is, you mentioned the sedentary lifestyle that leads to lower testosterone levels. We kind of live in a day where, like, that lifestyle where you're, you know, you're in a lot, much more jobs or at a desk, at a computer. And again, as we've said, that's not morally wrong in and of itself.
Right.
It just creates things that you've got to overcome as a man. And there's no problem with that. You just got to overcome it. So that's a big factor. You know, people are indoors in air conditioning, easy environments in those jobs. What are there other factors in our modern world, modern society in the West that lend itself to that, that are just around us as men that are hard that you have to be intentional about overcoming in terms of, so we've got the jobs, what about like the way our food is presented to us,
mm-hmm.
the common foods that mm-hmm. we're presented to eat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, the things that we can and should do to overcome those things that are working against us, I suppose. Again, not to say that, you know, a job that requires you to be more stationary isn't inherently bad or wrong, evil in and of itself. And so, but the reality is like that's stacking the deck against you a little bit. Like, you know, you're going to have to work a little bit harder to overcome this thing that, whether you want it to or not, is setting you back. And so in terms of food, you know, we talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but, you know, and you even mentioned it when you were just talking about yourself a little bit in the beginning, is that we need to eat foods that contribute to good health and also subsequently can lead to higher T levels. And, you know, this is going to sound probably like the opposite of what, you know, all the mainstream health professionals are going to tell you, but I'm going to say eat a lot of animal foods, as you said. Eat a good deal of animal foods. And why? Well, it's because of the cholesterol that's found in the animal fat. And those are really, in many ways, kind of the building block to testosterone. It helps contribute to.
So you're telling me cholesterol isn't the demon it's made out to be?
No, I would say if you aren't consuming, and hear me, like sufficient cholesterol. You can't just go wild with it. It's like anything else in life. We have to...
And again, this is not medical advice.
It's not medical advice. But yeah, in moderation, be disciplined in it. Don't just go wild. But understand that also consuming sufficient cholesterol is going to contribute to production of testosterone. And if you limit the amount of cholesterol that is in your diet, then your T production is going to suffer. And so it's really as simple as if you're asking the question, okay, well, what foods are those? Man, eat red meat, eat beef, eat eggs, eat shellfish. Those are all things that have healthy cholesterol that are going to contribute to really positive testosterone production in your body.
So red meat, eggs, shellfish, good proteins like that.
Mm-hmm.
What about complex carbs? Do they play a part in that or no?
You know, I don't know how much complex carbs contribute, I'll just be honest, to testosterone production in the body. I would tend to think that they might play a factor to certainly a lesser degree, but I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of studies that...
What about good? So you may have mentioned this and I just forget, good fats.
Yeah, yeah.
Good fats.
Yeah, certainly, you know, I would say good fats are a really necessary part of a healthy diet that's going to help contribute to testosterone production. And so that can look like anything from, you know, if you have a healthy, and by that I mean, you know, organic or grass-fed butter, those are really good, or you can do ghee, which is a clarified butter. I'm not going to tell you to stay away from lard or animal fat. I mean, we save all of the bacon grease in our house and we cook with it. We do the same thing with beef tallow. We make broth out of all of the meats that we cook. We take out the bones.
That's another good one I was going to mention. Chicken bone broth.
Yep. Yeah,
beef bone broth.
Yeah, but you can also, you know, you can do olive oil or avocado or coconut oil. All of those things have good healthy cholesterol in them that are going to contribute to T production.
Yeah, and the reason we bring this up again, we kind of got at it last week, but specifically we're looking at testosterone today. Is so much of our processed and packaged foods and restaurant foods are not only not healthy, but they're doing things that harm testosterone levels in men. They're doing things, they're estrogenic, and you know, you look at like extreme examples like the Impossible Whopper at Burger King.
Yeah.
There was something about, I forget what the story was, but something about how that was just like just packed with estrogen. And you know, and the thing about it is, those things are marketed to men, like all these big burgers, mm-hmm. and oh look, it's a healthy burger, it's Impossible Whopper, made out of vegetables. Okay.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, impossible meat is not meat.
Yeah, right.
It's not real meat.
It's literally impossible. So, but it's marketed to men as this manly thing, and yet it's laced full with things that are destructive to men, that are estrogenic and cause problems in men. And so that's what we say when we talk about how we live in a society in a time where we're faced with things that we have to take responsibility to overcome. Because if you just go along and you take what's presented to you in terms of the lifestyle and the diet that's presented to you, it is not a healthy one. And so these are things we got to be aware of, mm-hmm. And be intentional about overcoming. What about, I haven't asked you about this, the receipts. Is there estrogen in our receipts? Have you heard this one?
I haven't heard this.
Oh, you haven't heard this one? Okay. Well, it's a conspiracy theory. And I think
you've already got me.
But I think there might be some studies actually that vindicate it. I don't have the information in front of me. But yeah, the theory is that the receipts you get at all the stores are estrogenic. and, you know, just absorbing into your skin.
I'm glad to say I don't take the receipts from the
stores.
That's
why, well, you'll see there's guys out there who talk about, yeah, I never take the receipts. I don't touch it.
Yeah. Oh, it's just been, you know, exaggerated for me now. There's no way I'll take them. That's crazy. No, I haven't heard that.
So, what about, are there any specific types of workouts that are best for boosting testosterone? Obviously, well, before we get there, let's talk a little bit more about the lifestyle aspect.
Yeah, okay.
We talked about the negative things of a sedentary lifestyle. But what are the good lifestyle improvements that a regular guy can make in his everyday life? So obviously the basics of just getting moving every day,
yeah,
doing some physical exertion every day. What are the things, just lifestyle-wise, before we get into the lifts?
Oh, man, just get out in the sun.
Sun. Vitamin D.
Get out in the sun and get some healthy vitamin D. It is really vital for healthy testosterone production. Sunlight is the best and most abundant source of that vitamin that we have available to us. So get out in the sun and soak it up. Try to do that at the very least, I would say, you know, 30 minutes to an hour every day. But again, that's minimum. I would certainly try to get more sun on bare skin. And let me you know, emphasize that. Like, get a short sleeve shirt or a tank top, or
please go down this rabbit trail,
or no shirt at all, and just go take a walk. And then I would say as well, there, and I don't have a lot of information on this because I've just kind of discovered it within the past couple of weeks, but don't wear sunglasses. Because one of the best way for our bodies to absorb vitamin D or through sunlight is through our eyes.
Yeah.
And so don't wear sunglasses.
Yeah, and I've heard things like the best thing is first thing to do when you wake up, if the sun's risen when you wake up, get sunlight first thing. You know, get a good 15 minutes to start the day. Get those eyes absorbing that sunlight to start. I mean, maybe don't go stare at the sun.
No, but don't do that.
And I've heard, I don't know, again, this is something I heard, I don't know the actual research behind it, but doing that, if the first thing you do in your day is to go out and get some sunlight to start with, there's kind of if you have trouble sleeping, it kind of helps set your sleep clock in your body biologically. Mm-hmm. So the earlier, the sooner you get the sunlight, then the better your body's going to be prepared to go to sleep later that night.
Yeah, that's right.
So get sun, get moving. Anything else, just little things lifestyle-wise guys can do?
I would say there's probably a lot of things, but, you know, I would want to say it. Similar to, you know, when I was talking about my diet and or you know, my lifestyle, the way that I eat, it's, you know, in order for it not to become overwhelming, allow it to be a process that you work into. And so it's a process of slowly adding these good things that we've talked about, but also removing bad things. And so it really just kind of becomes a shift in your mindset. You know, I said, I think it was last episode, where, you know, when you buy some food product at the store, whatever it is, you want to, you know, just like make it a habit that you read the label. And so really kind of the same thing is like you just kind of make it a habit of, you know, some of the things that you need to do that are going to be, I'm going to say them now because I think they're easy adjustments to make. And that is things like just trying to eliminate as much plastic as you can from your life. You know, especially any plastic that comes into contact with your mouth. And the reason for that is
water bottles.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Because the xenoestrogens that are in the plastic that we are consuming into our bodies, it's a chemical estrogen that's present. And so, And then also one that I know you're going to love is removing toxic vegetable and seed oils from your life.
Yeah.
So what are those? That's canola, soybean, rapeseed, vegetable. Just try to eliminate them. And I already gave you the healthy alternatives, which is lard, butter, yeah, ghee.
Olive oil,
avocado, coconut.
Yeah, and again, they make it sound so nice and healthy. Vegetable oil.
Yeah, who doesn't want that?
Yeah, it's vegetable. You know, that's not really what it is. But
yeah.
How about this? What about nicotine?
Yeah. So, again, this is not professional medical advice, but there are studies out there that say that consumption of nicotine actually contributes to higher tea production, and which is interesting because so much effort has gone into telling men that that they shouldn't smoke. That's the last thing that you ever want to do in your life, because it is this terribly disgusting, unhealthy, life-ending habit. You can have your opinions on whether or not you like it or don't like it, but the studies are out there, and you can go do some deep dives. That the studies certainly do suggest that it does contribute to tea production.
And coincidentally, the marketing efforts against smoking cigarettes coincides with the last few decades of dramatic decline in testosterone. Now, yeah, like Brandon said, again, there may be, that's not to say go start being a chain smoker. You know, there's other negative effects that too much smoking can have on you. But yeah, like you said, a little nicotine, a little cigarette here and there.
Well, and you know, we might as well go there, because we talked about it beforehand, is that, you know, what has smoking cigarettes been replaced with, or smoking tobacco been replaced with? It's been replaced with smoking marijuana, and that, you know, we're seeing all over the place now. I mean, dispensaries are popping up, and so, you know, state law, you know, allows it medicinally. Some states are allowing it recreationally, and the research really clearly shows that smoking pot has certainly some levels of estrogenic effect on our bodies, on the endocrine system, that it does, it certainly isn't contributing to us producing more testosterone.
Yeah, and you look at the weed smokers. I mean, look at their lifestyle. Very lethargic, apathetic, a lot of video games, a lot of Taco Bell. And look at, you know, who are the guys, you mentioned this, that were in all of the tobacco advertising in the 80s, you know, the 60s, 70s, 80s.
This is Marlboro Man.
The cowboys.
It's like the Charlton Heston of cigarettes.
So take that for what you will, and do some research on it. So let's get into the lifts here. Let's close out with talking about the best lifts, and then also along those lines, strategies in terms of schedule and that sort of thing. So what are some of the best lifts? Because not all lifts are equal, especially in terms of testosterone optimizing. So where would you start with that?
I would say that really compound lifting is going to be the thing that contributes to tea production the most. And so compound lifts are when you are doing strength training on a specific muscle group. And so the ones that have shown through research to contribute to the most tea production is squats, right? Which you're engaging your quads, your hamstring, your glutes, certainly other muscle groups, but those are the big three. Deadlifts, and many of the same muscle groups, as well as back, shoulders. Bench press, and overhead press. Those four, I think, to the best of my knowledge, have shown to contribute to the greatest production of T levels in the body.
Squats, deadlifts, bench press, overhead press.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those have got to be staples in the workouts, especially for men.
Yep, particularly absolutely. Well, and if you think about it in relation to the male body and how oftentimes just in generations past, the body was really, in by all accounts, required to operate, doing those same movements as you would see in a squat or certainly in something like a deadlift, picking something heavy up off of the ground, lifting something up over your head. And so it makes sense that just, just pure biology within males, it seems like, yes, of course, why would these not contribute to the greatest production of testosterone in our bodies so that we can get stronger and do that thing, whatever it is, more and in higher numbers and, with greater efficiency.
Yeah, and think about Jacob rolling that large stone from the covering of the well. That probably was, he probably had to squat down, and we don't know exactly how he did it, but it was probably a squat, full body lift push thing, which would have engaged most of those muscle groups in the body.
Yeah, and we know that it wasn't, I'm looking at it right now, that it wasn't a small stone.
Yeah.
It says at the end of verse 2 of Genesis 29, now the stone on the mouth of the well was large.
Yeah, large.
So he had to put some effort into it.
Yeah, and I could be wrong, but I think it said in there as well that he rolled it away.
Yeah.
So it was so heavy that it could not be just straight up lifted, but there was it was very heavy. So it was the squat movement with kind of an element of the bench press, probably. I don't know how he did it, but yeah.
Yeah, the thing I would also want to add to that, I just realized I missed this, is that in terms of frequency doing those workouts, we've talked about this, and I think bare minimum, and just hear me say, guys, the absolute minimum amount that you should be doing these types of exercises is 3 times a week. I would say shoot more for 5. If you want to do, if you want to incorporate, I've known a lot of guys that put 2 rest days in the week, and that's okay. I think, if you cycle your workouts, if you do compound workouts and you focus on certain muscle groups rather than doing split workouts where you're working multiple muscle groups, just focus on one. And then, when you get to the next day and, the DOMS, the delayed onset muscle soreness kicks in your back and you're doing biceps, you're good. So I say 3 to 5, shoot for 5. And, this is going to be the best way, and work up to be intentional, try to make it be a heavy lift.
Yeah.
Don't kill yourself. Don't hurt yourself. Don't attempt to do more than what you can do, especially if you're just getting started.
Make sure your form's right.
Have good form. And there are loads of good resources out there on YouTube, on the web, that can show you good form. There's a guy in my church who I would love to steer you in his direction, because he owns an online strength training company. He had a gym here in town, and now he has one of the best, more notable online strength training programs in the U.S.
Would you want to mention that here? Or?
Yeah. So the name of his company is Barbell Logic. His name is Matt Reynolds, and his Twitter handle is Reynolds Strong. And so you can go and check him out.
I didn't know you knew that guy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a local guy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Matt's my guy. And so, man, just in terms of he loves helping guys in this area. And, man, he can really clean up your form and give you, good workout routines. He loves doing that stuff.
Yeah, so these heavy lifts. And would you say, because I've seen some research, too, that talks about how like an over use of cardio actually can hurt testosterone levels. Have you seen anything like that?
I've heard that. I haven't done any reading on it. I think it seems to make sense that, we talked about cardio in the last episode, I think it was, or maybe it was the first one, but cardio is good in terms of cardiovascular health. And, certainly, our ability to take in and oxygen into the lungs and but that isn't contributing to what we would classify necessarily as strength. It's not strength training. It isn't contributing to. It's going to contribute some in much lower levels to building developing muscles.
In fact, I don't know what you think about this, but I've read a few articles about how someone who's an endurance, endurance runner, for example, and that's what they do, that's their thing, it contributes to lower testosterone levels and actually, at least from what I've read, deteriorates even muscle mass.
I haven't read that, but from the guys that I know that describes them, I would say that seems accurate.
Yeah. So would you say, so we talked about, you mentioned frequency of lifts, just briefly real quick, I forgot to mention this because this has to do with frequency of things. Would you say intermittent fasting plays a role in testosterone levels?
It certainly doesn't seem to suggest that it takes away from it. Within intermittent fasting, what is happening is, and I've gone into this in previous episodes, but it is bringing your insulin levels down, and I would say at least in regards to studies have shown that higher insulin levels does suppress testosterone production. And so if you are fasting and your insulin levels are being lowered, and then also, which I've shared with you, that your naturally occurring human growth hormone elevates significantly during a fasted state. And so it's essentially just a naturally occurring steroid in your body that's going to contribute to muscle growth.
So you've talked to me about this before. Maybe talk about this for a minute. Your perspective, because there's different ones out there on this, on lifting in a fasted state.
Yeah, I generally practice lifting in a fasted state because of that elevated HGH level. And I think that is contributing to, at least in terms of what I'm after, it's contributing a great deal to greater strength and muscle development. Now, you're not going to get just super jacked. You're going to get really lean. You're going to be chiseled. And those things are in terms of appearance, I know, but I could say those things, and hopefully you understand what I'm getting at. Is like if you're trying to put on muscle mass, then I wouldn't recommend working out in a fasted state. You're consuming large amounts of protein if you're trying to put on mass. But if you're seeking to get lean and burn fat and build muscle, then I think that working out in a fasted state within that elevated HGH number is going to contribute well to that. And if you think about it, just generationally, I think that men probably unintentionally did this, that they would get up real early, get out into the field and work, try to beat the hottest part of the day and then come in and then eat and, you know, do whatever it is they have to do, whether it's chores around the house or, you know, spend time with family, have dinner, and then get to bed at a reasonable time, wake up, do the next thing, the same thing the next day. And so, you know, they're probably hitting the fields, maybe not always, but I would assume in, you know, a relative fasted state.
Yeah. One question I thought of as we're talking about this, and maybe some guys have thought about this. What are, and I didn't say I was going to ask you this, so hopefully I don't catch you off guard, but what are your thoughts on supplements for, specifically for testosterone? Good, bad, depends?
I think it depends. Yeah. I think there are probably a number of supplements out there that can help contribute to T production, just in terms of you know, bringing a balance to your hormone, your you know, bodily hormone levels, and you know, some guys will do something even like you know, a pre-workout, those types of things that I think can contribute to other things that are going to help with the production of testosterone. And so I don't know, because I don't take any. I don't really know what all's out, what is out there that's available. I know from what I've seen and heard from others that there's a number of supplements that I wouldn't recommend.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, looking from a distance, there are some that that are certainly cleaner and do contribute, if not directly to tea production, at least other things that lend to tea production.
Yeah. And I would say my thought on that is, especially for a guy who is trying to figure out his way in this regard and trying to improve, just making those big healthy changes and steps, is don't worry about the supplements, you know, when you're starting out. You know, there are so many things that you can do that we've talked about, even more things out there that can just be basic, simple lifestyle changes, simple diet changes, simple exercise routine changes that can just help you and give you boosts and to see good changes in without going down that road, at least to start with. And so I think that's kind of what we would say to start with.
Yeah.
Is just start with the things you can control and change naturally: lifestyle, diet, exercise routines, and then see what that doesn't do for you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, unless there's anything you want to add, I think that'll about wrap up this episode.
That's all I got, man.
Good. All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. It's been good once again, and hopefully this helps all of you guys get out there and keep making gains for the new Christendom. So, until next time, happy lifting.